The reason that I did the announcements today is I was going to have Brian do it, but Brian texted me this morning and said that he's got laryngitis and it's painful and it hurts and he didn't want to spread it around, so he stayed home. So Brian, if you're watching, we're praying for you, brother. I prayed for you after you texted me, so I hope you're feeling better. If you're a guest with us for the first time today, please fill out a Guest Connect card. And you can give it to us at somebody after service. And I want to send you a letter. I promise I won't share your information with telemarketers. It's safe. Safe here. Last week we had 79 people in church. We're a little bit less than that today. That's okay. See, because you are meant to be here. It's in God's providence that you are here. And it's God's providence and it's God's will that you hear what he gave for me this week. Because you need it. If you're here, you need to hear what I have to say this morning. Actually, it's not what I have to say. But it's what God has to say through me this morning. You need to hear it. That's why you're here. Father, I thank you for the word, and I thank you that, God, that you've prepared the soil. Lord, to receive the word of God, the seed, to be planted. Lord, whether it's been planted before and today is the day of harvest, I don't know. But God, whatever it is, it's this one waters, one plants, one waters it, but it's the Spirit who gives the increase. So give increase where increase is due. I ask for your anointing. Lord, help me to speak with grace and truth this morning. And that people see you and not me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So back in 1997, you've probably all seen them, but there was a company that was founded in 1997, October 26, and it was called Build-A-Bear. Have you ever been into a Build-A-Bear? I mean, you've ever purchased a Build-A-Bear? I was going to say something, but I don't know if I was. I was going to say a fool and their money are soon parted, right? Because when you go in there, you're not going to come out cheap. Unless you do their, last year they had a program, you pay your age. And it was chaotic. So this year they're going to do it again, but this year there's going to be some structure to it, and you know, so that they don't have the chaos that they had in their stores last year. But Build-A-Bear, it's headquartered in Overland, Missouri, and it sells bears and stuffed toys, stuffed animals and characters, and customers go through an interactive process in which the stuffed animal of their choice is assembled and tailored to their own preferences during the visit to the store. You can build that bear. You can however you want that bear to look. As long as they have it in their store, you can make that bear look that way. That's one of them. We went in there one time. Did we even buy anything in there? Then we went in there with our grandkids with the intent of getting a bear, and we saw how much it was going to cost. Not this little gray duck. I could spend my money on other things. I could get a lot more for that price. Make my grandkids happy. But some people, they go in there and you want to put a hat on it, you can put a hat on it. You get a shirt, you can put a shirt. I think you could even choose the stuffing in it. Okay. I don't get it, but I understand it. You want something that's one of a kind. You want something that's unique, something that's only you have. Hey, if people didn't want that, that store wouldn't still be in operation 20-some years later. People want unique. But there's one problem with people wanting unique. As you see, people have taken this to a level that it never was intended for and a level that never should go to. And that is, they've applied it to Christianity. People have decided, I want something unique. I want something that only I have. I want to build my own faith. Not many amens this morning. We've applied it in, and we've implied a characteristic of human nature, and we've put it into an area that it has no business being. See, this is the scripture, this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. And I'm reading this from the Amplified, and it might not correspond with what's up here because this is the Amplified Classic, and I don't know how there's a difference between Amplified and Amplified Classic, but there is. And I don't get the option for Amplified in Media Shout. All I get is Amplified Classic. So hopefully it goes along somewhat. But it says this, "For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, an accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold, and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable." Build-A-Bear. Build-A-Bear. Well, I don't like this part. I don't like this part of the Bible. I don't like what it says here. So I'm just going to ignore that part because that doesn't fit my lifestyle. I'm going to build a bear. I'm going to build a Christianity. I'm going to build a faith. I'm going to build it to suit my wants and my personal desires. My friend, you're going to end up in hell. Because the scripture says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. And the enemy, as a roaring lion, going about wanting you to say, "Well, I don't like that part. That makes me feel uncomfortable." And heaven forbid, in this day and age, somebody feel uncomfortable. Good Lord. The most offended society we become. That offends me. Get over it. "Well, I don't like what you had to say." I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth, even if you don't like the truth. Because the scripture says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I am not your enemy for telling you the truth. I am your friend. I am somebody who loves you and wants to see you in heaven. And I'm going to tell you that there is a hell. And I'm going to tell you that there's a devil. I'm going to tell you that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and the blood of his blood applied to your life. That's the only way. See, we become pickers and choosers. Have you ever seen that program, American Pickers? How many of you love that program, American Pickers? Man, they go through some of the junkiest stuff and they find, to them, it's treasure. Pickers, we become the same way. We sift through stuff and we'll pick this and we'll pick that. "Oh, I think I can sell this. Let's take this." Doesn't agree with the scripture, doesn't agree with your philosophy. "Well, I'm educated." "Oh, really? I've been to college." "I'm sorry." "I've been to seminary." "Well, we need to raise you from the dead then." They don't call it cemetery for nothing. People think that education, people think that going to school makes them smart. Some of the dumbest people I know have college educations. Because they go in to college and they believe everything that their professors say, and they don't ever challenge anything. They're like, oh, really, really? That's true. They don't ever question anything. That's how come we have communists in our country, in our Congress right now. I fought in the Cold War, if you call it fighting, to keep that from happening. And look where we're at. So we pick and choose. We pick and choose. And see, the parts that of the scripture that actually call out our sin, those are the ones that we don't want. Oh, it's all covered under grace. Hyper grace will send you to hell. Because grace without truth will kill you. And the truth is, with the grace comes responsibility. Has to be a change. Has to be a change. We pick and choose because the scripture goes against our experience. Well, I haven't experienced that way. Well, I don't care if you've experienced that way or not. Doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it false. We base everything on our experience, and our experiences sometimes are ungodly experiences. Our experiences come sometimes from the enemy leading us down a road to take us away from the truth of the gospel. And we say, well, it's not, I haven't experienced that. It's not my experience. I don't care. It's not about experience. It's about truth. It's about truth. You can't pick and choose. Just because somebody says it over and over and over and over and over and over and you hear it over and over and over does not make it true. Amen. A lie is a lie and truth is truth. Amen. And my Bible tells me that truth, his name is Jesus. Amen. See, this is what the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says, All scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration. You know, that's something that I've started praying when I'm praying for a sermon in the week, is God, give me a divine inspiration. And it's profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of errors and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, if you take part of the instructions away, you don't have complete instructions. When I was a kid, I used to build model. I used to build airplanes and semi-trucks and cars and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you this, you can't skip the instructions. You can't skip and go from one to the, you know, they're laid out in an order so that in the end you have a completed model. Not an aberration. Not a one of a kind. You're building the model. You don't want a one of a kind. You want it to look like the picture on the box. So you can't pick and choose which of the instructions in this word that you want to obey and expect to get to the final destination that we're all going toward, and that's heaven. You can't do it. You won't get there. It's true anyway. You don't have to say amen. See, we pick and choose. And throughout history, there have been people who have tried to pick and choose and make their own ways. Let me give you some examples. One of them is Mormonism. We have the other gospel. I mean, you've ever heard that? Seen that? Seen that commercial they used to put out on TV? The other gospel, the Book of Mormon, a book of lies. a book of revelation from the pit of hell to deceive people. See, one of the things that they say is that unless you believe and you accept Joseph Smith, you can't be saved. Well, see, my Bible tells me that there's no other name given among men whereby I must be saved, and that being the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have to accept the lies of a man. I accept the Word of God as the authority, as truth. I accept that, and I believe in, trust in, and accept what Jesus Christ did for me. That's what's going to save me. Not believing in somebody who's dead. They claim that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's true church. Something about Mormons. They have that wholesome, that, you know, all American. You know, they have multiple kids, and they're all about, you know, love and goodness and all that kind of stuff. But yet there's this, I don't know what it is, you get around them and their spirit just, because, you know why? Because the spirit that they have is the spirit of Antichrist. And it goes against everything that I believe, everything that I know to be true. Everything that is true, whether I believe it or not, that goes against it. They believe in many gods. They believe that they can be gods and are gods. They believe in celestial marriage. That's why they have to be married in the Mormon temples. And then it's forever. See, my Bible says that there's no marriage or giving in marriage when I'm in heaven. I'll be known as I am known. I'll know you. You'll know me. But we won't be married. Sorry. There's no, it's not. You know, they believe in, and they believe that God was once a man. He was once a man. He became God. They're picking and choosing. They're actually taking stuff and adding to it. The scripture says don't add anything to or take away. And they're adding this stuff. They're perpetuating this lie on people. And people are just so gullible. They don't believe in heaven or hell. They believe that when they die, that they're going to become gods and they're going to have their own planet. Hey, they believe in space travel. They believe in baptism of the dead. Well, yeah, they have to. How are they gonna populate their planets? Because if you're not baptized Mormon, you're nothing. So. They believe in general salvation for all. You know what they mean by that? They mean that even though Adam and Eve fell, and we are now under original sin, we fall under the sin nature because of that original sin, they don't believe in that. They believe that nobody is responsible now for the sin that you're responsible for, the sins that you commit. You're not responsible. You don't have a sin nature, so you're not paying the price for the sin that Adam and Eve did. We're all saved, and we just have to pay the price and do the things for the sins that we've committed. So in other words, if you feel like you've not committed a sin as a Mormon, well, you're saved. The enemy is sitting back, and he is just laughing his head off at these people. There's another group of people too that, and we see a lot of them around here. I'm kind of getting tired of seeing them sitting around town with their heretical materials in the parks, sitting there. I've seen them people sitting at 6:30 in the morning in a park. 20 degrees outside, and they're sitting there. They're sitting there on their way, a fast track to hell. And they think they're going to heaven. If you don't know who I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, the people who come to your door. Been to our house before, my wife said, oh, we're pastors. Oh, they couldn't get away fast enough. Oh, well, thank you. See, Jehovah's Witnesses deny that every cardinal belief of historic Christianity, including they do not believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the divinity of Jesus. They don't believe in his bodily resurrection. They don't believe in salvation by grace through faith. And they don't believe in eternal punishment. Everything that my Bible says is true. Oh, and by the way, don't ever read a New World Translation of the Bible, because it's a Jehovah's Witness translation. Unless you are comparing it to the authoritative Word of God, so that you can refute what they're going to tell you if you ever encounter them. But don't say, "Oh wow, I got a new Bible. It's a New World Translation." By the way, don't ever take a King James Version from a Mormon either, because it's not really the King James Version. They've made some slight adjustments. I'm talking about building a bear. I'm talking about building things and picking and choosing. See, today in the church, in churches, in modern day churches, now we're getting to the point. Now I'm going away from the cult. Because we all know that those are, you know, most of us know that they stay away from them, that those people aren't saved and they don't believe in Jesus and they're not going to heaven. But let's get down to Bible, supposedly Bible-believing churches, preaching the Word of God. And yet we find in them yoga. We find meditation. Well, let's just meditate. We'll empty ourselves out. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. If you want demonic influence in your life, then you empty yourself. You empty your mind. And then you'll regret it. I saw something the other day that just kind of made me sick, and I felt so sorry for this person. They had a t-shirt on that had a Ouija board on it. And it said, "Talk to me." It's like, lady, you don't want whatever that thing has got to say. You don't want that in your life. That's another thing that's straight from the pit of hell. Let me say this. If you've ever played with one in your life, you've ever had anything to do with one in your life, you need to renounce that and close that door to the occult right now. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Close that door. Renounce that fact that you've done that. And get away and move away from it. And don't ever play with one again. Don't ever go near one again. We've done chant. People are bringing chanting in. How many of you ever heard what's called centering prayers? In churches nowadays, it's big in some of these New Age churches and some of these. It's called centering prayer. All it is chanting. It's like sitting on the floor with your legs crossed and like this, going om. Using a mantra, however you want to say it, tomato, tomato, I don't know. That's all it is. It's the new age. It's Eastern religion. Eastern mysticism is infiltrating and has infiltrated the church, and people are accepting it because it's being packaged in new ways, and they accept it, and all it is old junk, because there's nothing new under the sun. Oh, I've been enlightened. People, we have to be aware, and we have to understand that there is a Satan is out there. There is an enemy of your soul, and he will do whatever it takes, however it take he can, to get you away from the truth. Even in church. Now, there's a church I saw, and I did some research. I saw it on Facebook, and we all know that it's true when it's on Facebook, right? Has to be. Has to be. If it's written down, it's true, right? And it's on Facebook. So I did some research on it, and it was about a church who added a psychic medium to their pastoral staff. And you can imagine the comments. I can't believe a church would do that. Oh, like that. Well, you know, one of the things that we have to do is do a little bit of research. So I did a little bit of research on it. And when I found out when I did the research and found out some information, I understood why this happened. It's a place called Vision Church of Atlanta. And it's part of the United Progressive Pentecostal Church. Let me tell you this. Anytime progressive is attached to anything, you better watch out. Their pastor is openly gay. And he has a partner that he's married to. And they call him the first gentleman of the church. Makes me want to hurl. He's encouraged and mentored other gay pastors who've started other churches. When I found that out, I understood why. Why would a Bible-believing church add a psychic medium? Because they are not a Bible-believing church. They are an apostate church. They are on their way to hell, and they don't even know it. The word progressive is a term that's, in these days, it's just a term that's used to legitimize deviant and unbiblical behavior. That's all it is. So when you hear the word progressive, run. United Progressive Pentecostal Church, my eye. Nothing Pentecostal about that. Nothing Pentecostal about that. I'd go so far to say as those people aren't even saved. Another thing that we've allowed in the church is situational ethics and relativism. See, we're picking and choosing. You know, we're getting away from the Bible says that thou shalt not. Oh, but if the situation, you know, doesn't, you know, the situation might not warrant that. Let me give you an example. Your wife says, do these jeans make me look fat? How many of you have ever been there? Oh, no. No, no, no. Ladies, do us a favor and please don't put us in that situation. Because it's a situational ethics deal. Because if you say yes, then you offend your wife. I mean, if you say no, you're lying. I'm sorry. If you're telling something that's not true, it's a lie. What? Yeah, if she doesn't look fat, then say no. But we find ourselves in those situations, and that's just kind of a lighthearted situation. We find ourselves in other situations with a little more depth, with a little more importance to it, and we find ourselves struggling with what we do is right. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And it should be done that way every single time, not because the situation depends, you know, it depends on a different... Right is right. Friedrich Nietzsche said, relativism is the idea that views are relative to differences in perception and consideration. Truth relativism is the doctrine that there's no absolute truth. The truth is always relative to some particular frame of reference, such as a language or a culture. Remember why I said something about my experience? Right? We choose, you know, if it doesn't, my experience doesn't bear that out. Well, it doesn't make it right. But these things are in the church. These things are in the church. And people today, we're picking and choosing. We're bringing to ourselves, teachers having it, because those gay churches, that's an oxymoron, my friend. But these entities who claim to be Christian and espouse the homosexual lifestyle, they're picking and choosing what they want to believe, what they want, what the Bible says. And I'm going to tell you this. When you're picking and choosing what you want to believe, what you end up with is Frankenstein's monster. Isn't he pretty? Isn't it cool? Something from a bad science fiction movie. And we're saying, oh, but, you know. Oh, it feels so good. More. And you're on the fast track. You're heading to hell in a handbasket. And you don't even know it. So, Pastor, let me read you this. It says, Victor Frankenstein, depends if you've seen Young Frankenstein or not. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Builds the creature in the attic of his boarding house through an ambiguously described scientific method consisting of chemistry from his time as a student at University of Ingolstadt, and alchemy, largely based on the writings of Paracelsus, Albert Magnus, and Cornelius Agrippa. Frankenstein is disgusted by his creation, however, and flees from it in horror. Frightened and unaware of his own identity, the monster wanders through the wilderness. Mary Shelley's original novel never ascribes an actual name to the monster. Although when speaking to his creator, Victor Frankenstein, the monster does say, "I ought to be thy Adam," in reference to the first man created in the Bible. Frankenstein refers to his creation as creature, fiend, specter, the demon, wretch, devil, thing, being, and ogre. Frankenstein's creation did at least once refer to himself as a monster, as well as other villagers toward the end of the novel. When you're picking and choosing what you want to believe out of the Bible, you're creating a monster. You're creating a demon. You're creating an ogre. You're creating a specter. You're creating something that's leading you astray. Because we all know that man is inherently good. Not. Despite what the Mormons say, man is sinful. Sinful at the very core. And the only thing that changes that is the blood of Jesus. We have to espouse. We have to pick. We have to keep intact the word of God and not get rid of this and get rid of that and because we don't find it appealing. So, Pastor, how does that relate to Father's Day? I didn't know how I was going to relate to Father's Day either, and my wife asked me the other day, she says, what are you preaching on Sunday? I told her, because I didn't necessarily see it as Father's Day message, you know. But then after talking to her, I realized, yeah, we can tie this into being father. Neat little bow. You see, as men, as fathers, it's our obligation to make sure our families know the truth. If you're a father, it's your job, it's your duty, it's your responsibility to make sure that the truth is grabbed a hold of, the truth is taught, the truth is espoused, the truth is believed, the truth is embraced in your home. You have to make sure that you're not picking and choosing what you like and what you don't like when it comes to the scripture. We as men and we as fathers, we have to step up and be the leaders of our home. We have to step up and be the priests of our home, just like God designed and ordained us to be. Men are not women. Despite what's being said today in popular culture, this flabbergasts me. I never thought I'd ever use that word in a sermon. We're told these days that if we are men, biblically, as it's defined in the Bible, if we act that way, it's toxic. Toxic masculinity. Well, let me be as toxic as I can be. I'm a man. God created me to be a man. He did not create me to be a woman. He did not create me to identify. He created me to be the leader of my home. He created me to be the priest of my home. He created me to be the protector. He created me to be a provider. He created me to be a lover of God. If you're a man, that's what you need to be. Stop being ashamed of being a man. Stop being ashamed of being masculine. God gave you that trait. I didn't used to have that. Well, I did, but it was much smaller. I'm a man, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of being a man. I'm not ashamed, and I'm not sorry. And everything to do with it. Let me give you some stats on fatherly leadership. The most reliable predictor of children's ongoing church attendance is how consistently their fathers attend. Let me say that again. The most reliable predictor of children's ongoing church attendance is how consistently their fathers attend church. Oh, well, my wife goes, so she can take them to church, and then they'll go, uh-uh. Uh-uh. This is a Swiss survey done in 1994, and I know it's been quite a few years. It doesn't change the fact that this is still truth. If both father and mother attend regularly, 33% of their children will end up as regular churchgoers. 41% will end up attending irregularly. Only 25% of their children will end up not practicing at all. If the father is irregular and mother regular, only 3% of children will subsequently become regular themselves. while a further 59% will become irregulars. 38% will be lost. It is the religious practice of the father of the family that above all else determines the future attendance or absence from church of the children. If the father is non-practicing and the mother regular, only 2% of children will become regular worshipers. And 37 will attend regularly. In other words, 60% of their children will be completely lost to the church. You don't think that it's important for you as a father to attend church? Then I have news for you. You are sadly mistaken. And we wonder why churches are closing on a daily basis. It's because fathers are inactive and fathers are apathetic and fathers have abdicated their rights, their authority as fathers. Let my wife do it. Let me take a statement that we hear commonly. Man up. Man up. See, as fathers and as Christians, we don't get the freedom to pick and choose what parts of the Bible we're going to believe. You either believe it all or don't believe any of it. Well, I believe this, but I don't believe that. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. It's all of it or none of it. See, God put his instructions in word form. In word form. Why? Because we are too stupid to have it any other way. Sometimes we don't even get it right when it's in word form. It's like building a cake. How many of you know what that reference comes from? Nobody? Remember the movie Napoleon Dynamite? What are you going to do? Oh, I think I'll build her a cake or something. Pedro? How many of you have seen Napoleon Dynamite? Okay, well, that explains it. That explains it. It's like building a cake, baking a cake. To get the cake, you have to follow the instructions. Everything has to be right for you to get the final product. Everything has to be right for you to get a final product that's edible. You can get a product, but you may not want to eat it. There are instructions for a reason. It's not just put a little bit of this and a little bit of that and, you know, a pinch of this and a pinch of that. And who knows what you'll get. And it's the same thing with our faith. If you get a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a pinch of this and a pinch of that, you don't know what you're getting. But when you follow the direct instructions, the written down instructions of God's word, then you know what you're going to get. Eternal life. You're going to get it. You're going to get life everlasting. You're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to have abundance. Let's stop picking and choosing. Let's stop picking and choosing. Because in the end, how many of you know what the Bible stands for? It stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. It's the instructions. It's the recipe. You want to get to heaven? You follow the instructions. You follow the recipe. Let's all stand.